17. Enter Monica. June 26th. Bill looked up as Aaron entered the warehouse, followed by another woman, presumably Monica. He struggled not to ogle. Aaron had said that Monica was hot, but the reality was, okay, Bill, you're not a teenager anymore. Get it together and try not to be an ass. As the women walked up to the table, Monica altered direction slightly and made for the open boxes of pizza. She quickly scooped up a piece without waiting for an invitation. Bill felt his opinion of her rising even more. Anyone who liked pizza probably had many other fine qualities. Monica took a bite, then turned her attention to the group.
So, do you have a theme park you need a zoologist to sign off on?
The men turned to look at Aaron, who held up her hands and exclaimed,
I didn't say anything, and it wasn't easy either. She's pushy.
Richard stepped forward with a tablet in his hand. Let's start with introductions, then I'll play you some vids and we'll explain the situation. Then we'll try to convince you we're not crazy. The videos had been shown and the explanations had been presented. Even Kevin had finally run down. Everyone stared apprehensively at Monica, unsure what to expect. Her mouth moved a few times, then she managed to force out two words.
Another dimension? That doesn't mean anything,
Kevin replied.
Unless you mean another time dimension, in which case, yes, it's another world line. A parallel universe, an alternate Earth, whatever science fiction term you want to use.
And it's filled with animals, but as far as we can tell, no humans, Bill added. We'd like you to look at the animals and see if you can identify them and come to any conclusions. We're especially interested in which ones will try to eat us. Monica glanced around, a slight frown on her face.
All right. I'm still treating this as an elaborate practical joke, but if you do manage to open a gateway to another world, I'll reconsider. Shall we start?
Bill grinned. Richard turned on his tablet and began working the UI. The 3-foot gate blurred, then settled into a scene showing distant trees and animals. Monica stared at it, her jaw dropping.
Okay, maybe not crazy.
Bill handed Monica a set of binoculars and motioned toward the gate. Monica sidled up to it like a cat investigating something unknown. After a few seconds, she put the binoculars to her eyes and began scanning the scene, muttering just loud enough to be heard.
Tapirus californicus? Cervalces scotti? Holy shit, those are extinct!
As she walked sideways trying to scan the landscape, she ended up peering through the gate at a steep angle. She lowered the binoculars and frowned. Richard came over.
Here, you can rotate it. Let me.
He took hold of the gate assembly from behind and turned it on the table. As he rotated it, Monica walked around to keep the best angle of view. Abruptly, she screamed and jumped back as a large, sandy-colored paw with impressive claws poked through the gate. The paw withdrew and was replaced by a ferocious feline face with huge teeth. The animal growled and started to push farther through. Richard yelled, "The fuck!" as he caught sight of it and pulled out one of the cables. The gate shut down and the feline head shimmered, then disappeared.
Fuck, 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 oh, fuck!
Monica backed away from the gate.
That was a Smilodon!
She started hopping from foot to foot with her fists balled, the binoculars forgotten around her neck, yelling,
Oh, Jesus, what am I, wearing a red fucking shirt? Shit!
Bill watched this performance in awe.
I think I may have found my soulmate.
Monica stopped hopping around and said,
Rule number one, we don't open the goddamn gate while we've got pizza in the room, especially a meat lover's. By the way, Bill, you were asking about animals that would eat us. That's one.
Richard wordlessly offered Monica a beer. She took it without hesitation, opened it against the table edge without missing a beat, and downed about half the bottle before continuing.
Okay, look. You have a bunch of what appear to be Pleistocene animals out there. The plants, as near as I can make out, are consistent with that. The climate appears to be cooler than ours. Kevin, given what you said before, that it's the same date on that side, I'd say either the climate over there has been more stable, or humans never migrated to North America, or some combination of that. Fuck!
She downed the rest of the beer.
So, is it safe to go through? Matt asked.
Safe? Safe? Something just tried to eat me. No!
She stopped, took a couple of deep breaths. Bill felt his eyes bugging out despite his best effort, then continued.
The prevailing theory is that humans wiped out all the megafauna when they migrated to North America, either through direct hunting, competition for resources, or destruction of habitat. So those nasties aren't invulnerable. You're bringing guns, right? Big guns?
We haven't provisioned ourselves yet, Richard replied. How about you give us an idea what we'll need?
Let's see. We've got Smilodons, that's saber-toothed cats to you. Dire wolves, think wolves but bigger and meaner. American lions, which are exactly what they sound like. Homotheria, scimitar-toothed cats. Short-faced bears, mastodons and mammoths, stag moose, giant sloths, and giant beavers.
Giant beavers?
Bill said.
Giant beavers? 6 feet tall and hungry for human furniture?
Monica glared at him.
Listen, Chucky, just because something isn't carnivorous doesn't mean it isn't dangerous. People have been injured by white-tailed deer. Now try meeting a moose or a bison. Or imagine something even bigger that hasn't learned to be afraid of you.
She waved the empty beer bottle at the gate.
The giant sloth in particular wasn't slow and sedentary like its modern South American cousins. It was mobile, territorial, and judging from the state of some skeletons, a bit of a scrapper, so have some respect.
Matt got a puzzled look.
Hey, Richard or Kevin, how come we don't have a decapitated Smilodon head sitting in the middle of our floor? It was definitely on this side when you cut the power.
Look, this isn't a door in the traditional sense,
Kevin replied.
It's a quantum superposition. The probability spaces of the two timelines have been forced to overlap in the area within the gate. When you move through it, you go from being probably on Earth to being probably over there. The cat was still probably there, and when the power was cut off, that's where it stayed. You're pretty sure of yourself,
Monica replied.
The alternative is that we built a working gate based on my math despite my math being completely wrong just by fluke. Does that sound likely?
Well, that's a relief anyway,
Bill said.
One less thing to worry about. Maybe more than you expect, Matt added. I've been a little embarrassed to bring this up, but do we even know if it's possible to walk through one of these gates and not turn into pudding or something? I mean, we're making a lot of assumptions.
There's no reason to believe something like that would happen,
Kevin said.
It's the same set of physical laws on the other side. Plus,
Monica pointed out dryly,
a Smilodon just tried to eat me, and it didn't turn to pudding.
Bill grinned at her.
Still, let's run an experiment or two before we commit to a full expedition, okay? Maybe toss a lab rat through?
Good idea,
she replied.
I'll work something out.
Okay, people, Richard said. Time to get organized. Monica, are you in?
Oh, depend on it. I've only ever seen skeletons of those animals up until now. What kind of zoologist would I be if I walked away?
Richard smiled. Excellent. So we have to start getting supplies, including weapons. Big weapons. Also tents, sleeping bags, cook stoves, water purification, food, axes, knives, yada yada. Oh, and gold panning equipment. We'll all have to kick in for this. Everyone keep track of what you spend, and we'll settle accounts as soon as we are able.
And by we, you mostly mean me,
Matt muttered.
You and that trust fund, yep,
Bill replied with a grin. You'll be paid back before anything else, Matt, Richard added. Aaron, we also need a map and detailed information about the Deadwood Strike. And you all have to make sure you're free for enough days to get this done.
And why, pray tell, do we need tents and sleeping bags?
Monica asked. You'd prefer to sleep under the stars?
No, I'd prefer to sleep in a hotel, preferably 5-star. I'll camp when you can plug a hairdryer into a tree.
Is there any reason we can't just do day trips to the panning site?
You know, I'm not sure, Richard replied. I just assumed it would be a long way to the site from the nearest outpost of civilization on this side. Obviously, we'll have to get out and walk once we run out of road.
Here's two words for you. Google Earth. How about we find out?
Richard looked a little crestfallen, and Bill took a moment to enjoy the spectacle. Petty or not, Richard was probably just realizing that he hadn't thought things through as well as he'd believed. Okay, Monica, Richard said. You've got my attention. I guess we're going to have to go through everything and do a rethink. 18. Testing the waters. June 28th. Aaron looked around as she and Matt entered the warehouse. Bill and Monica were in one corner working on something. Monica gazed at a tablet while Bill was waving what looked like a branch pruner in the air.
"What's that thing?" Matt said.
"I took one of those extendable tree branch trimmers from Home Depot and stuck the smallest gate at the end of it, with the Faraday cage removed. I've mounted a small camera in front of the gate. It's like a periscope into the other Earth."
Bill gestured to the cables that led down from the top of the pole to the portal generator box and a video monitor. The monitor showed a somewhat shaky scene of Wild Kingdom Earth.
"Cute,"
Matt said as he examined the contraption.
"And Smilodon-proof.
Monica at least will appreciate that."
"I highly approve,"
Monica said, looking up and grinning. Bill smiled and blushed slightly, and Aaron felt one of her eyebrows go up.
"Uh-oh, looks like Monica's up to her usual. I might need to ask Matt to have a talk with Bill."
Bill interrupted her internal monologue.
"Listen, Richard and I were discussing things last night, and we've come up with a better name for Wild Kingdom Earth. Or a shorter one, anyway. Richard shot down pretty much everything I came up with."
"I can imagine,"
Matt said.
"So we ended up with Outland."
"Works for me,"
Aaron said.
"So, on to business."
Bill leaned the pole carefully against a shelving unit and turned off the portal generator box.
"We've got this pole cam for scoping out the situation on the other side. We've got a couple of 6-foot gates now, but in a pinch we could squeeze through the 3-foot gate. We've got a second portal generator and spare parts.
You're welcome.
And an electrical generator. If necessary, the equipment can run off the van through an inverter, which we also have."
Bill grinned at his friends.
"The question is not, am I paranoid, but am I paranoid enough?" "And we've got the destination information," Aaron added. "As soon as Richard and Kevin get here, I'll go over it. We've got all the supplies."
She pointed to a pile of items in the corner.
"And we'll rent a van to carry the portal equipment." "Assuming this test outing goes well, of course," Aaron said. "The rat survived," Monica replied. "And it didn't show any sign of diseases or killer fungus. There's no reason to think we won't be okay." "Yeah, sure, the rat didn't turn to pudding, but things can still happen. I'll feel better once we've actually proven the concept, you know?"
Monica grinned.
"Fair enough. So let's get rolling, shall we?"
Aaron turned to Matt.
"My camera is still in your truck. And I have some ordnance in the trunk of my car,"
Monica added.
"Lots of it."
Richard and Kevin had finally shown up, and everything was ready for the test. Bill and Monica were surveying the immediate area on Outland with the pole cam to make sure it was safe to open the big gate. Monica held the tablet and watched the video while Bill waved the pole cam in the air. So far, she hadn't commented on anything dangerous in the area, but the memory of the Smilodon was still fresh. Bill kept trying to maneuver around to see the tablet, and Monica looked like she was having fun frustrating his attempts. Bill seemed to be enjoying the game, but Aaron could see Richard glaring at the two of them out of the corner of her eye.
"Oh, wow, this is just getting more complicated." "Looks clear," Monica said, looking up from the tablet.
Bill gave the group a double thumbs up.
"Okay, then. We are ready for prime time. Pleistocene excursion take one."
"Let's do this," Richard said. He picked up a shotgun from the arsenal that had been laid out and prepped by Matt and Monica. He stared at the weapon for several seconds, then turned to his friends.
I don't actually know how to use one of these," point shoot, said Bill.
Monica glared at him.
Let's not act casual with weapons, okay? Who else could use a quickie course?
Four hands went up.
Everyone but Matt. Outstanding. Okay. Gather round for Shotguns 101.
Monica spent a few minutes going over the mechanics, safety procedures, and proper handling. When she was done, she said to the group,
Just let Matt and me do the shooting unless things get desperate.
They walked over to the 6-foot gate, which was set up against one wall of the warehouse. Kevin held the tablet that was slaved to the portal generator for that gate. A few pokes with his finger and the gate opened, showing the meadows and wildlife of Outland. The ground on the other side was even with the warehouse floor. Monica and Bill had spent a few minutes with the pole cam earlier, picking the right spot. Matt, Aaron, Bill, and Monica picked up shotguns. The four exchanged looks, but no one made a move toward the gate.
Oh, for God's sake, Aaron said, exasperated. Unless Bill wants to make some one small step comment, Matt and Monica should go through first and set up.
Matt smiled at her and stepped up to the gate where he stopped. He turned to look at Richard.
We know this is going to work, right?
Gas came through. A Smilodon almost came through. Light comes through. The rat went through and came back. Sounds are coming through. What more do you want? At some point we have to commit.
Hold on.
Bill grabbed the pole cam, which had been unplugged from the portal box, and poked the handle end through the gate. He prodded the ground a few times, then pulled it back in.
Seems real.
Matt shook his head and, looking slightly sheepish, stepped through the gate. He was followed closely by Monica. After a quick scan of the area, Monica made a come gesture with her hand, and Bill and Aaron stepped through. They spread out into a circle and looked around. This was nature as depicted on postcards. The landscape was predominantly meadow, with long grasses waving in the light breeze. Mild rolling hills gave just enough variation in elevation to add texture to what might otherwise have been prairie. Stands of trees spread their branches to catch the sun. They saw small herds of deer, the occasional moose, and other less recognizable species. All of this under a sky of such an intense blue that it seemed like a new color. Patches of fluffy cumulus clouds provided enough break in the sunshine to keep the temperature comfortable. Various kinds of birds looped and dodged through the sky, in flocks large and thick enough to blot out the sun. As the birds passed overhead, they made a sound reminiscent of helicopters. Monica shouldered her shotgun and pulled up her binoculars.
Look at that, Bill exclaimed. Buffalo! More likely bison.
Monica scanned slowly in a circle.
Looks clear so far.
Holy jumping son of a bitch!
In the distance, there were five of what could at first be mistaken for elephants, but the enormous curved tusks, the shaggy coats, and the high domed heads marked them on closer examination as something very different.
Mammoths. Honest to God, mammoths. Colombian, I think.
Aaron took the binoculars from Monica and looked through them.
Holy God.
She passed the binoculars around.
Now that right there is worth the price of admission.
Bill turned to Monica.
We can go home now. Nice try, buddy. I came here for a hike. Now move your ass.
Bill laughed and they started moving in the direction she indicated, straight toward the mammoths. They walked past the gate, waving to Richard and Kevin, who stood on the other side. Aaron noted in passing that Kevin still wasn't holding a weapon, though Richard had his at the ready. As they were walking down the slight slope, Aaron stopped and giggled. The rest of the group turned to her, and she pointed to the other side of the portal. An elliptical segment of the warehouse wall hovered unsupported in midair.
Yeah, Bill said. That's why we pushed the gate up against the wall. It opens from both sides.
What?
Aaron said.
If you walk through the east side of the gate on Earth, you'll come out the west side in Outland. If you walk through the west side on Earth, you'll come out on the east side.
Bill shrugged, palms up in a helpless gesture.
Unfortunately, that meant Richard and Kevin would have to guard both sides of the gate from critter incursions, so we pushed it up against the wall to block one side.
I can't see it at all from here, Monica said.
She had stopped a few yards back while Bill and Aaron talked.
You're looking at it edge on. The gate itself is on Earth, so all we see on this side is the interface. It has no thickness, so from the side it's invisible. If Richard or Kevin walked through right now, they'd look to you like they just appeared out of nowhere.
Bill laughed.
I am completely nerded out over this.
Monica made a face.
Thanks, Mr. Science. Let us know when you're done with the nerding.
She turned to the others.
Remember, 1 hour at most. If Richard has to come looking for us, that's 5 of us on this side. And let's try not to wander out of sight of the gate.
Aaron had her camera out and took pictures as they walked. A couple of times she stopped and used the zoom to take shots of the mammoths. Monica waited patiently each time until Aaron was satisfied. During one of the stops, Aaron turned to Monica.
I'm still a little weirded out by the hills on this side. It doesn't make sense. There's no reason for it. Yeah, I get it. So far, this looks all very normal for Pleistocene wildlife, but no people. I have to wonder what caused that, and what other differences it might make. With 10,000 odd years of alternate evolutionary history, it's not totally out of the question that we could run into something I can't identify.
What about disease, Monica? Bill said. Like when the Europeans discovered America.
Native Americans are the same species as Europeans, Monica replied. If we spot any humans, we should probably back off immediately, but failing that, diseases jumping species is really unlikely without a lot of ongoing contact. Just make sure you clean your shoes after we go back.
When the group got within about 50 yards of the mammoths, the largest individuals positioned themselves between the humans and the smaller juveniles and trumpeted what was very likely a warning or challenge. Monica held up her hand and the explorers stopped. The mammoths stomped their feet a few times, but otherwise seemed satisfied with the current standoff. Aaron took picture after picture at various zoom settings, while Monica used the binoculars to examine them as closely as she could. After a few minutes, the adults resumed browsing through the grass and the juveniles started a shoving match.
Interesting, Monica said. They don't identify humans as a known danger. Silly mammoths.
She smiled at the others.
But it supports our theory that humans aren't a factor over here, either rare or non-existent.
Matt's phone played a tone. He canceled the alarm.
We're at a half hour. We need to head back.
There was no argument, and the group turned and started back to the gate. About halfway back, Bill said in a low voice,
Don't look now, but we've got company at 4 o'clock.
Monica lifted the binoculars to get a better look.
Oh boy, more Smilodons. I hate Smilodons.
I guess you kind of have a history, Bill said.
Well, that's why God invented shotguns.
Matt pointed his weapon upward and fired a round. The result was exactly as effective as anyone could have hoped. The menacing forms vanished.
You'd think they teleported, Monica said with a nervous laugh.
Yeah, along with Bill's comment was interrupted by twin thuds as two small objects hit the ground. Aaron jumped. Bill walked slowly over to the objects, then started to laugh, almost doubling over. He turned to Matt, tears streaming from his eyes, and said,
You took out a couple of birds, oh great white hunter. Want squab for lunch? The special today is passenger pigeon.
Matt looked up.
I guess we should be thankful they didn't all empty their bowels at the same time.
Monica picked up one of the dead pigeons and turned to grin at her friend.
Don't worry, I won't bring it to class, but I've never dissected a passenger pigeon before.
That was awesome!
Bill gushed once the team walked back through the gate. He seemed to have developed a permanent grin. Richard got a doleful look.
Wish I'd seen that.
Mostly it was your basic hike in the country, Aaron said as she put her shoes back on. From any kind of distance, deer are deer and moose are moose, except a lot more of them, of course, but
Mammoths aren't anything but mammoths.
She activated the LCD screen on the back of her camera and flipped through some of the pictures for Richard.
Well, that's fine, Kevin said. You keep your mammoths. If the only large animals I ever meet are in zoos, I'm good.
Anyway, Richard said, proof of concept is successful. We can go through, wander around, and come back. No one turned to pudding. The portal is stable. The 6-foot gates work. We're good to go.
So Operation Yellow Brick Road is on.
Bill exchanged a high five with Matt. Monica smiled at everyone as she held up a dead pigeon.
And I've just seen animals that are extinct on our Earth. I'd say this qualifies as a good day.
19. First Expedition. June 29th. Bill slid down off the bumper and settled to the ground with a grunt.
Next time, let's hire someone.
We're not moving furniture. Richard gestured at the rented van, which contained all the portal equipment plus supplies and luggage.
Actually, I'd hate to hear your complaints if we were.
We should give the two of you lightsabers and let you duke it out, Matt said, just to stop the arguing. Are we ready, Richard?
Yep. You and Bill in your pickup, and welcome to him. Aaron and Monica in Aaron's car, and Kevin and me in the van. You lead. And remember to use cruise control and don't speed. We don't need nosy cops wanting to look inside.
Geez, even for me, that's over the top, Bill said. What are the cops going to do? The equipment isn't stolen until someone reports it stolen. For that matter, will they even have a clue what it is?
That's funny coming from you, Captain Paranoid, Richard retorted. Isn't this the part in the movie where things go wrong?
Every part of the movie is where things go wrong. You have to pick your moments to care about.
Sure, sure, Richard said. Let's get moving.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Bill grinned at Matt as they pulled into a long gravel road.
You should drink less coffee. Maybe you'll last longer between stops, Matt said as he struggled to keep his truck out of the ruts.
The road had definitely seen better days. The convoy reached the end and pulled up in front of an old home with weathered clapboard siding. The house was a few decades overdue for a paint job. To the side, Bill could see that the fence was missing boards, and what was left was rotting at the bottom. Bill turned to Matt, unsure what to say.
Aaron doesn't like to talk about it, but her family is very poor. That's why she's always had multiple jobs. She's sensitive about it. Try not to bring it up, okay?
Dude, I'm not that much of a jerk. Even to Richard, which, believe me, is a strain.
Matt bobbed his head in agreement, and they got out of the truck. Bill looked over at Aaron. She had a slight flush on her face and wasn't making eye contact with any of the crew. A woman came out of the front door and hurried up to Aaron, arms out. Aaron yelled,
"Mom!"
and rushed to hug her. Monica rushed up behind her, yelled,
"Zia!"
and hugged them both.
"Hello, Monica,"
Mrs. Savard said. She turned to her daughter.
Has she burned down any buildings lately?
Nope, she's been very well behaved for her.
Hey, I'm standing here.
Aaron motioned to the rest of the group and did introductions. Bill examined Aaron's mom while trying not to be obvious about it. Gray hair, plain clothing, a slight stoop spoke of a hard life. But she had a penetrating gaze and a quick smile, especially for her daughter. This was a close-knit family.
Would anyone like coffee?
Mrs. Savard said. And she had good taste, apparently.
One of my favorite subjects, Bill replied.
Aaron led them into the house. They went to the kitchen and settled in around the table. The furniture was old, but well kept. The kitchen was neat, organized, and felt lived in. Bill found himself feeling less embarrassed for Aaron. While she made coffee, Mrs. Savard told Monica,
I heard from your mother. They're having a great time. Sophia says she's tried to email you, but she can't get it working from there. My mom's a technophobe.
Monica shook her head. She turned to her friends.
My parents are in Italy, visiting family. Apparently, rural Padova is not at the cutting edge of internet communications, just like my mother.
There was a bark at the kitchen door.
Someone smells food,
Mrs. Savard said and opened the door.
The black tornado that ran in did its best to visit everyone in the room at the same time. 80-odd pounds of lab pointer cross caromed around the kitchen, attempting to sniff each person, get patted, and check for food all at once.
"Wow, that's one energetic dog," Bill commented.
"So, Aaron, tell me about this camping trip,"
Mrs. Savard said when the storm had died down.
"We're heading to the Black Hills for a few days. We somehow got the idea that we'd like to do some gold panning. Mostly it's to get away from the university for a few days."
"Mm-hmm," Mrs. Savard said, then smiled.
"In deference to your friends, I won't guilt you about never visiting, but make sure you stop on the way back and tell me how it went."
They spent what turned out to be a pleasant hour or so, talking, resting, and otherwise getting ready for the next leg of the drive. Eventually, coffeed up and with extra cookies in hand, the group prepared to leave. Aaron's mother collected promises from Aaron and Monica to visit more often. In a few minutes, they were back on the road. Aaron cringed, knowing what was coming. Monica did not suffer failure gracefully. Someday she would make a great middle manager, until she killed someone. The drive to the Black Hills had gone without incident, and they arrived ahead of schedule. A steady stream of other vehicles going 10 to 15 miles an hour above the posted limit gave them the cover they needed to push things a little. However, summer was high season in the area, and there was a dearth of available accommodations. After much searching and phoning, they ended up with a couple of rooms in a Super 8 in Deadwood.
"Nice planning, Einstein. You've never heard of reservations? When I say 5 stars, what exactly pops into your teeny mind?"
Monica was in full glare mode. Richard sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose.
"I'm sorry. How many times do I have to apologize? Look, we'll spend very little time here, hopefully. If we can find out where..."
Yeah. Pan for gold, everyone's rich, isn't it wonderful, I know the drill. But if that bed ends up having a coin slot, you're going to hear about it, Buster."
"Hey, at least you and I each get a bed," Aaron said, trying to diffuse things. "The guys have to all fit in one room, and 2 of them will have to sleep on those fold-out abominations."
2 rooms was all we could get, Richard started to explain for the umpteenth time.
"I wonder why that is, do you suppose?"
Monica asked.
"Well, whatever, we're stuck with it." Richard turned to the others. "Okay, folks, dinner, then a couple of us will ask around about tours and such. If we can avoid having to go on one, we'll save some time. We just have to get the vehicles close to where we want to be, pop over, and do our thing. So, restaurant. Opinions?" Monica smiled at Richard, or showed him her teeth, anyway. Aaron was pretty sure it wasn't friendly.
"Steak, you're buying."
Well, the good news was that any kind of romantic complications between Richard and Monica were now off the table, Aaron decided. 20. Logistics fail. June 30th. The next morning, Aaron and Monica were already halfway through breakfast when the men shuffled into the restaurant moaning like zombies. It took Aaron a moment to realize it was mostly Matt and Bill, and the moans said, "Coffee." Richard, not surprisingly, looked more irritated than anything. Kevin, as usual, seemed to barely register his surroundings. It took a few minutes to get resettled, then they began strategizing for the day.
"It's kind of a good news, bad news thing," Richard said. "On the one hand, we have enough information from scouting around to be able to start right in on gold panning. No need to take one of those tours just to figure out where everything is. On the other hand, we won't be doing it from the parking lot." Bill made a vague out there gesture with his hand.
"That's way too public. We're going to have to find somewhere off a side street or something like that, which will mean a hike to the creek."
"Yep, but I'm not going to take the hit for that." Richard glanced at Monica. "We knew this part would have to be ad-libbed."
Monica smiled at him.
"Okay, big guy, you get a buy for that one. How will we do this? Split up, look around?"
"I think so. Everyone downloaded that app I mentioned?" Richard looked around to nods from the others. We can keep track of each other's position and trade information.
They settled the bill and straggled out of the restaurant. After a few exchanges, the crew took off in pairs to reconnoiter. Aaron and Monica got back to the parking lot an hour later to find everyone else already there. Richard pointed back up the access road.
Believe it or not, I actually found something pretty convenient. There's an overgrown side road a little ways back, although road might be charitable. It's not paved, but it curves, so you lose sight of the main road right away. It's a bit farther from the creek, of course. We'll have to use compass bearings to make sure we don't get lost.
Or spray paint cans for marking the trail, Bill added. That's why I brought them.
Matt grinned at the group.
Bill does tend to overpack, but sometimes he's right.
They all piled into the vehicles and followed the van. Richard hadn't been exaggerating. The side road was little more than two parallel wheel tracks. It had not seen recent use and couldn't be described as anything close to flat. Aaron began to fear for her crapmobile's suspension. After they got out of the vehicles, Bill said,
"Next time I'll go to the bathroom first."
But Aaron had to admit the location was perfect. They were invisible from the main road. Nothing gave any indication that people had been here recently. The port old generation hardware, after several rounds of improvement, now consisted of a box not much bigger than a tower PC. One power cable and several fiber optic cables ran from the portal generator box to a set of connectors labeled A through D. Each gate had corresponding cable receptacles. Bill carefully unloaded the small gate with its pole and the large gate. Richard and Matt manhandled the electrical generator out of the van and placed it with the equipment. Aaron helped lay out supplies for the hike. This included weapons, basic survival equipment such as first aid kits, axes, and machetes, as well as water and food. Beside this pile, they placed a couple of sets of screening boxes and a manual water pump. Aaron pulled out a list and carefully double-checked to make sure nothing had been forgotten. Richard, as usual, assumed control of the proceedings.
"Okay, I think we're about ready to go. We don't want another rant from Bill about bad movie scripts, so he and Kevin will be staying on this side just in case."
"Honestly, it's not a bad idea," Aaron replied.
"Yeah, I have to admit, Bill's paranoia can occasionally be useful."
Richard went over the equipment and supplies and gave instructions for dividing up the loads, and finally they were ready. Richard signaled to Kevin to activate the portal. They turned to the 6-foot gate and... nothing.
I'll check the script again, but isn't this the part where the gate opens? Bill said.
The hell? Richard said. All right, drop everything, people. It's debugging time.
The crew removed their packs, dropped what they were carrying, and settled down to wait. Kevin methodically checked hardware from the gate back to the generator while Richard did diagnostics on the tablet. After several minutes of investigation, Kevin sat back and shrugged.
"There's nothing wrong, Richard. We have power. The software is happy. The gate is happy. Just no connection."
"Okay, let's try the pole cam," Richard replied. They swapped the connections to the pole cam, held it up, and activated it. "So this works. Shit. All right, let's point it downward." Richard carefully angled the pole so that the camera faced down while Bill watched the monitor. He frowned at the image.
Doesn't the ground look closer in the monitor?" Bill asked. Aaron came over to look. "No question, the ground is higher on the other side. Maybe the gate can't be opened underground." "Well, no, it wouldn't," Kevin said. "Unless the soil was pretty loose, the gate would have to cut the soil, and I know that is not possible. There's not enough energy in the system for that kind of effect."
Bill glared at him.
"You couldn't have brought that up earlier."
This provoked a return glare from Kevin.
"Okay, let's move the gate up onto the van. Maybe that'll be enough," Richard said. They lifted the gate onto the deck of the van, reconnected it, and started up the portal. This time, they were rewarded with a gate connection.
"Odd. I never would have expected the ground level to have changed like that," Aaron said. This is like the hilliness in Lincoln.
Well, doesn't matter, Richard replied. We're ready. Let's go through and get this done. Aaron glanced at Richard with a frown but didn't comment. This wasn't the time to argue, but she was pretty sure he would be eating those words at some point. They ducked as they walked through the large portal. There was a step down on the outland side of less than a foot. The group huddled in a circle for a few moments. This experience was different from the last time. Here, forests surrounded them, reducing line of sight dramatically. The noise level from the local wildlife had an almost physical impact. It seemed to be mostly bird calls, but there were enough of the deeper sounds from large animals to remind them that they weren't alone. After a pause to get used to the noise, Richard pulled out a can of spray paint and handed it to Monica. Spray each tree as you go past it, always to your right.
I'm on guard duty, Monica retorted. What are you doing?
Carrying 3/4 the equipment. Want to trade? Monica made a pfft sound but took the spray can. Aaron, meanwhile, looked down at the ground on this side of the portal, then adjusted her load and scuffed her foot on the ground. She stared at it for several seconds, frowning. Richard touched her shoulder briefly. Problem? Aaron glanced sideways at him and shook her head. It took about 20 minutes to get to the creek, which was in the same place on the outland side. However, the area around the creek looked quite different. Aaron did a full 360, her frown deepening as she became more perplexed. What? Richard said, watching her.
It's just... The creek bed has a steep bank on both sides. On Earth's side, it was a lot flatter. It's weird.
A pattern was developing. One Aaron didn't like. Well, weird isn't actionable, Richard replied. Let's set up. Matt and Monica, you keep guard for now. Aaron and I will get things organized. True to his word, Richard began unloading equipment from the packs. Meanwhile, Aaron broke out the metal detector and swept the creek bed to get a general idea of where to dig. She marked the areas with good readings using bright yellow plastic tent pegs.
I think we're ready, Aaron announced.
Richard tossed her a shovel, and they quickly settled into a routine. Aaron took a shovel full of creek bed and placed it in a screening box, which Richard and Matt held. While they shook it back and forth, Monica used the handheld pump to pour water onto the muck and gravel. It took less than a dozen shovelfuls before they spotted their first yellow nugget. Monica yelled, "Woohoo!" and passed the nugget around.
Heavy, Matt said, bouncing it in his palm.
Over the next hour, Aaron took shovelfuls from different parts of the surveyed area until they were able to see where they were getting the best results. After that, they concentrated in that area of creek bed. The gold bag filled fast. Matt and Monica were conscientious about guard duties, but Aaron couldn't shake a bit of nervousness about her and Richard's inexperience. She had never so much as hefted a shotgun before that first test outing, let alone fired one. If something happened, would she end up blowing off her own foot? She sidled up to Matt during a break.
You know, we probably should have done some practice firing when we started.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe tomorrow morning?
Sounds like a plan. Right now, I want to check out the stream bank. Can you walk me over?
Matt signaled his intentions to the others, then followed Aaron. She kicked the ground, then dug a few shovelfuls of earth. Then she nodded to Matt, and they rejoined the group.
That's 3 times. Should we be worried? Richard said.
No, just a puzzle.
Aaron gave him a small smile.
A geology puzzle.
A short time later, they'd settled into the routine again when Matt said,
Uh-oh, visitor.
The others looked up and followed Matt's gaze. With 4 sets of eyes on it, the large feline that had been creeping up on them from the trees hesitated. Then, apparently having decided they qualified as food, it resumed its approach. Matt and Monica hoisted their shotguns. Richard and Aaron grabbed theirs as well, and Aaron made an unsuccessful attempt to pump in a shell. Seeing this, Richard handed her his already primed shotgun and took hers. The feline continued to approach, but its body language showed increasing caution.
"I don't think his heart's really in it," Monica said. "He looks young and probably hasn't hunted successfully yet. That may work for us."
Pointing her shotgun high, she pulled the trigger. Aaron jumped at the unexpected volume of the discharge. Only Monica's earlier admonition to keep her finger off the trigger unless preparing to shoot saved her from firing her own weapon. The shot boomed like a cannon in the close forested space and shredded a small tree. The feline jumped 6 feet into the air, did a backflip, and hit the ground running, spraying gravel back at them before it finally got traction and disappeared. Aaron stared at the hole in the underbrush where the cat disappeared while the others alternated glances in that direction with scanning the rest of the perimeter, and gradually the forest cacophony, which had ceased with the gunshot, returned to full volume.
"That," Monica said in a small voice, "was another Smilodon. Smaller, possibly gracilious. And I may have just peed my pants."
That got dutiful chuckles, but Monica wasn't done.
"That's a reminder, though, that we're in wild country. This isn't a hike in the hills. Keep alert."
Monica's words took any feeling of vacation out of the air. With renewed determination, they got back to work. But the encounter had created an atmosphere of paranoia as well. After a couple of hours of jumping at every rustle of leaves or movement of bushes, Aaron was emotionally drained. To add insult to injury, she'd reached the point where she could barely raise her shovel, let alone pull another divot out of the stream.
"Are we there yet?" she moaned.
Richard looked at the bag they'd been using to hold their finds.
"I think we've done pretty well. Time to go home."
21. They also serve.
"Oh, crap."
Bill looked over at Kevin.
"Hey, Kev, can you give me a hand here? Little help?"
Kevin looked up. He'd been sitting in the lawn chair, staring into space, and he looked irritated at the interruption.
"What? I'm kind of tangled up here."
Kevin stood and hurried to the side of the van where Bill had the second portal generator powering the pole cam. He had the cables wrapped around him and around one leg, and he teetered on the edge of losing his balance.
"How did you manage that?" Kevin asked. "I got bored, so I set up the pole cam. Been doing some examinations of the plant life and small animal life on the other side. I guess I lost track and got myself tangled up."
"Well, first," Kevin said, "you don't keep rotating in the same direction if you don't want to get tangled up. Second, we shouldn't be using the spare, especially not running two units off the generator. Third, we're supposed to be watching the gate."
"Thank you, Captain Obvious," Bill retorted. "Hey, here's a thought. How about you untangle me so I can put this thing down without breaking it?"
Kevin shook his head and got to work unwinding his unruly partner in guarding. He had just gotten Bill unraveled when there was a ba-bump, and the van moved a little on its shocks.
"What was that?" Bill said. "I don't know. I was over here with you, not guarding."
"Okay, Kevin, consider me scolded. Let's see what's going on." They grabbed their shotguns and headed to the back of the van. As they turned the corner, they came face to face with a very large wolf. There was a moment of mutual frozen astonishment before Bill and Kevin brought up their weapons and took aim.
"Bill, he's between us and the gate. If we shoot him, we could take out the hardware. If we don't shoot him, he could take out one of us, or both. He's big enough."
As the men stood indecisively, a second wolf poked its head through the gate.
"Kevin, I think there's a whole pack on that side. This can only get worse."
"We're in trouble, aren't we? Do we just shoot?"
"No, I'll cover them. You go pull the plug on the gate."
"Oh, God."
Kevin looked like he was starting to lose it, but he did hurry off around the truck, so Bill hoped he would follow through. Bill waited, his shotgun aimed at the animals.
Just before the gate winked out, the first wolf turned and retreated through the opening, pushing its packmates out of the way. Bill let out a relieved breath as Kevin came around the truck.
Are they gone?
Yeah. But that was too close for comfort, Kev. I think there will probably be raised voices and pointed fingers when the others get back.
They're here.
Bill turned at Kevin's comment. Kevin held up the tablet, which showed an image of the gold panning party from the pole cam.
Good. Turn on the gate and let's get them back. Then we face the music.
The others came through the gate one at a time, dominated by Richard's bad-tempered grumbling about the delay.
What's going on? Monica said. Why was the gate off?
Bill looked at Kevin and then back at the others, a crooked grin on his face.
So, funny thing.
Oh, Christ, Richard said. What have you done?
Bill hesitated and looked back at Kevin, who refused to meet his eyes.
Fine, I guess I'm it.
A funny thing happened while you were gone.
Bill filled them in on the events with the wolves. At the end of the story, there was a brittle silence in the group. Then Monica spoke.
You let dire wolves get through?
We didn't let them, Monica. We had to make a choice between shooting them and possibly taking out the gate or letting them get out of the way. Richard shook his head.
You know, Bill, for all your talk about paranoia and movie twists, you still fuck up as bad as the rest of us.
Okay, I'll take that one. But look, they went back through, so no harm, no foul, right?
Matt interjected.
To be honest, using the pole cam to keep watch is probably a good idea as a standard policy. That way there won't be any more surprises like this.
Fair enough, Richard said.
What would we be looking at if one had gotten loose?
Aaron said to Monica.
Monica looked over at Bill. Did you notice if the one that came through was male or female?
Sure, Monica, as it stood there growling at us, I bent down to check. Monica sighed.
Well, it would raise questions if the wolves around here suddenly started getting bigger. Honestly, I don't know if they'll be interfertile with Earthside wolves anyway, and they aren't that much bigger. About 25% on average. Some dogs are heavier. I'd be more concerned about whether it'd be less afraid of humans.
It didn't seem inclined to eat us, Bill said.
True. Normal wolves may actually be more habituated than something from the other side. Then there's the question of cross-contagion. Canis lupus might be closely related enough to Canis diris to be mutually infectious.
Monica stared into space.
Let's pack this up and I'll think about it.
They disassembled and stowed the equipment in almost complete silence, each person communing with their own thoughts. Bill walked over to claim the lawn chairs, the last items left. As he folded the second chair, he looked down. Bill felt the blood drain from his face as he spied the animal tracks. They seemed to lead directly from the truck to the nearby trees. As a city boy, Bill didn't pretend to be able to read spoor, but these looked dog-like and big. Really big. The area near the truck was hard-packed earth with patches of scrub, so there was no chance of picking up signs, even if it hadn't been trampled by the crew. The tracks might or might not be related to their recent adventure. Bill's face felt hot as he realized he wasn't going to say anything. All those years of being bullied, verbally abused, and ridiculed came rushing back. This would just be more of the same, from people he was starting to think of as friends. If there was a dire wolf loose, South Dakota was on its own. They finished cleaning up after themselves, got in the vehicles, and drove back to the motel. After the necessary showers, they got together in the men's motel room.
We can't just leave the portal open, Monica said. I agree we should keep the gate closed, except when we're coming or going.
They already have wolves around here, Bill pointed out. And as you said, dire wolves aren't that much bigger than the locals. Monica gave him a puzzled look.
Yeah, but saber-tooth cats or something even bigger could also be a problem. Bill, have you lost your paranoia superpower or something?
No, Bill shook his head, trying to keep his face neutral. That's my laziness superpower kicking in. Monica chuckled and patted his hand.
Personally, I like the solution that Kevin and Bill came up with the pole cam. Unless something can jump 8 feet into the air and sail through an 8-inch aperture, I think we're safe.
Matt looked at Monica.
No, nothing like that I know of, she replied.
So we should do that whenever we go through, Richard commented. That way there will be no more surprises.
And I think everyone needs to spend a few hours on a gun range or something, Monica added. You need to get used to using the weapons. We can't have anyone fumbling with them in a crisis situation.
Oh, hell yes, Bill said. I'm embarrassed to say I felt clueless back there. Practice would be good.
You're the expert, Monica, Richard said. And on that subject, the others looked at him expectantly. We've been going into this like we're lords of creation or something, just playing it by ear, and we've avoided disaster so far only by dumb luck. Like on a TV show. Shut up, Bill, but yeah, we need a plan. We need to start making smart decisions and being better prepared.
Monica put her hand on Richard's arm.
Look, we're not idiots. But this is totally outside our experience. Our training. Except for possibly Bill, and that's all from fiction. Like it or not, we are winging it. Maybe if the university had a course on handling Pleistocene excursions while gold prospecting, we'd do better. Hey, how'd we do in the hall, by the way?
Kevin said.
That's right, Monica exclaimed. In all the excitement, I forgot that was the point of all of this. Are we rich? Can we retire?
Oh, I think you'll be pleased,
Matt said. He pulled up the bag from the floor and poured the contents onto the table. Given the situation, having an entire planet to themselves, the prospectors hadn't felt the need to scrabble for every flake of gold. They'd collected only gravel-sized pieces or larger. The result, on the table, left everyone staring. After a few seconds, Kevin said,
"Any idea how much we have there?" "No, not really. We forgot to bring a scale," Aaron replied. "My bad. That's my area." "What's gold worth?"
Kevin said. Matt pulled out his phone. After typing for a few seconds and muttering about the lousy data connection, he announced,
$1,225 per troy ounce. Yow! That's almost $18,000 per pound.
Kevin walked over to the bathroom and looked in.
"Hey, you know there's a scale in here, right?"
There was a stampede for the bathroom. Knowing the inaccuracies of cheap bathroom scales, they weighed the bag on its own and also weighed it while being held by each person, then subtracted that person's weight. They took all the results and averaged them.
"Just a shade over 6 pounds, Matt said when he had completed the calculation.
"Holy shit," Richard muttered.
"And we weren't working very efficiently either," Matt said. "We spent a good part of the day just figuring it out and jumping in shadows. We'll get better at this."
Monica patted the bag.
"And the money train is just pulling into the station."
22. The Road Home. July 1st. The next morning, Bill was awoken by Richard banging around, opening and closing drawers.
"What time is it? Dawn o'clock?"
"Almost 7. We want to get an early start," Richard said.
"Says who?"
Matt sat up and rubbed his face.
"Look at it this way. We'll get a table without waiting. You'll get coffee sooner."
"Sold."
Bill sprang out of bed and headed for the bathroom. "I'll have to remember that," Richard said with a grin. As Matt had predicted, the group got a table immediately, and coffee soon thereafter. Everyone had a smile on their face, except Aaron.
"Hey, gloomy girl," Bill chided her. "We just had a successful expedition. What's with the frown?"
Aaron looked up, and her scowl smoothed out.
"Sorry, Bill. It's the raised ground level on the other side. It's volcanic ash.
Oh, here we go, Richard muttered. I knew it wasn't nothing.
You sure?
Monica said.
Yes. Volcanic ash has a unique composition and look. There was a volcanic eruption on that side that hasn't happened here. How recently?
Not very, Aaron said.
There's a thick layer of topsoil on top of the ash. The creek has managed to wash it away, right down to the original creek bed, and that doesn't happen fast. Not to mention that that much ash would have wiped out the ecosystem. Everything you see over there has regrown since, and there's no visible trace of the old growth, like dead trees.
So, Bill prompted, rolling his hand in a get-on-with-it gesture.
Not less than 10,000 years ago, and not more than 100,000. My prof would kill me for making a sweeping statement like that based on a couple of feet of digging, but that's what it looks like.
Is it significant? Bill held up his hands when Aaron glared at him.
Hey, I'm not being dismissive of your specialty. I mean, from a practical point of view, does it affect our plans?
Aaron glared at him for a few more seconds before relenting.
Maybe. Maybe not. Look, there are two things we know are different so far. One, there are no humans. Two, there's been an extra volcanic eruption. Coincidence?
Probably not, Bill replied. Let me save you the trouble of using my own shtick against me. There are no coincidences. Anything we assume is a coincidence will end up biting us on the ass.
I'm not sure I could use that logic in a dissertation, but I'm also not sure I disagree with you.
Aaron looked around the group.
I have a favor to ask. Could we swing past Yellowstone?
Swing past? Richard exclaimed. It's in the opposite direction. There is no swing past.
I know, and I'm sorry. We've got enough vehicles so that everyone doesn't have to go. Look, it could be relevant, and I think it's important.
Hold on, Matt said. Do you want to go through and explore or just look?
Just look.
I think we can manage that. Matt turned to Richard. How about if we put one of the portal generators and the pole cam in the back of the pickup? It's secure with the tonneau cover. Aaron and I will drive it to Yellowstone. Monica and Bill could take Aaron's car back home, and you and Kevin could take the van back. Richard's expression cleared. It's a plan.
That's quite the arsenal you have back there, Bill said, pointing a thumb over his shoulder.
Monica smiled without taking her eyes off the road.
Not all mine, technically, but some of my brothers are in Italy with my parents, so they don't need to know.
Italians, guns. I feel like I'm about to put my foot in something. Monica smiled at him.
You wouldn't be the first person, Bill. I'm used to it. And no, my family doesn't have any connections to organized crime that I know of. But my father's always been a prepper type, you know?
Plus six older brothers.
Yeah, there's that. Made me tougher than people expect. What about you, Bill? You seem pretty self-reliant.
Nah. I've got no real story. I was an introvert growing up, so I got bullied a lot. Eventually, I learned to use my mouth as a weapon. Pretty typical nerdiness, I think. Also why Richard dislikes me so much.
Yeah, he's kind of, I don't know, a hard ass.
He was a foster child, went into the system at about 8. I doubt it helped his social skills. But it's why I try to take it easy on him, even when he's being especially asshattish.
Plus the fact that he's huge and could snap you in half. I bet Matt could take him,
Bill said. Monica's smile disappeared and she spared him a glance.
We're a real bunch of pieces of work, aren't we?
Everyone has a story, Monica. Dig deep enough, you'll find something. I think Kevin's had a pretty shit life, for instance.
Not really a surprise. He looks like he'd have received more than his share of swirlies in high school. And Aaron's family has always been poor. She sacrificed most of her high school years juggling multiple jobs to save up for college. That's why she's so driven. I don't know Matt, though.
Matt has money in the bank, but he's quiet about it. He has to be. His dad did a spreadsheet when Matt was about to start college, calculated all the expenses, allowed for necessities like a vehicle, some spending money, then handed Matt a check for that amount and told him not to come back asking for more.
Mr. Siemens is kind of an asshole.
Is he still on budget?
Bill laughed. The budget included money for an Econobox, not an F-150, so no, not by a long shot, which is why he has a strong incentive to make this scheme work.
There was silence for a minute or so, then Monica sighed.
I'm still getting up to speed on this whole experiment thing, but to the extent I can understand it, only Richard and Kevin have a downside. Other than getting eaten by something, I mean, for the rest of us, it's become about the money.
Well, for Aaron and Matt, probably, yes. But you're all excited about the Pleistocene biology, and I feel like I'm in an episode of Stargate, more or less.
Even so. Lots of money is better than no money, all things considered. I think we're all in, regardless.
Bill smirked.
Welcome to the whirlwind.
23. A smoking gun. The trip from the Black Hills to Yellowstone took 9 hours. When they arrived at the park, Aaron directed Matt to a location on the Grand Loop Road that offered a scenic view, but was isolated enough for some privacy. Matt looked around as they got out of the truck and stretched their legs.
This seems unusually deserted. I guess all the volcanic activity is scaring away the tourists. I bet the park is having its worst year in decades.
You'd win that bet,
Aaron said as she moved to the back of the truck. Matt came around and pulled up the tonneau cover. They removed the equipment and set up the pole cam. Matt plugged everything into the inverter, raised the pole, and switched on the gate. Aaron took the control tablet, poked at it a few times, then stared, her eyes getting slowly larger.
Is this good? Matt said.
No answer.
Aaron?
Slow pan, please.
Happy to have gotten a response, Matt slowly rotated the pole to give Aaron a 360 view of the other side. He finished one complete rotation, then stopped and waited. Aaron looked up at him with a shocked, stricken expression.
It's gone.
What's gone?
Without a word, she showed him the tablet. The video image showed a huge body of water, evidently an inland lake or sea. In the background, parts of some mountains were visible. Matt looked up from the tablet at the horizon, where he could see that the distant mountains matched up with the video, at least with the parts that were still there.
What are we looking at?
It's a caldera.
Collapsed magma chamber, and it didn't get filled in by lava flows afterward.
This is what's left of Yellowstone in Outland, after what must have been a supervolcano eruption. That lake would have taken hundreds of years to fill up, maybe thousands.
So, it blew up there but not here. Is this an issue?
Matt, we've been asking why Outland doesn't have humans. I think this is our smoking gun.
24. Cashing in. July 2nd.
Aaron called me,
Monica said.
They're on their way back from Yellowstone.
She grabbed a piece of pizza from the fridge.
It was very cryptic, though. Just the minimum necessary to update me, then she hung up. Something's weird.
We'll find out in a day or two anyway. Bill said.
He turned to Richard.
So, Big Daddy, what do we have?
Richard looked at his notes.
About 6 pounds of gold and accretions. After refining and commission, I figure that'll be somewhere around 80,000 net to us. Reimbursements to members come to about 12 grand, so 70 grand when all is said and done. 10 grand and change each.
That's a nice start, but we're not going to be retiring on that.
Bill said. We're not done though, right?
Not even close. This was a test run. We all knew that going in. Now we have enough experience to plan for the real thing.
And I wanted to talk about that specifically. Richard looked around the table. It felt like everything about our first try went wrong. No weapons training, the whole hotel thing, having the van parked outside where it could be broken into or stolen, running the portal out in the open. Yeah, pretty much every part of that sucked. So we're going to have to up our game.
Sounds like you already have something in mind, Bill said.
Yep, Richard grinned. Motorhome.
Big honkin' land yacht, or maybe a couple of them. Hookups don't seem to be as much of a problem around there. We can park in the parking lot during the day and run the portal from inside. We'll be closer to the creek, so